going to share a story with you all. Are we ready for story time, boys and girls? Excellent. Yes, there's a couple of nodding heads. Awesome. Listen, ears on. There was once a little tailor who felt hungry for something so sweet. Some fine jam to his liking was being sold on the street. He spread his jam on his bread to his liking. It attracted 7 flies. And then, by striking, he struck them all down, and so pleased with his throw, he announced to the world he killed 7 with 1 blow. May sound a little bit familiar to some of you. Except others thought this was men he thwarted, and he happily let the lie grow and be distorted. He went off on an adventure to be more than the tailor in town, oh so poor. With his belt, with strong words, gave him so much determination. 7 at 1 blow. Even a king would consider abdication. He took on 1 giant, and then he took on 2 more. Others around him were jealous and lacked valor. Yeah, kind of rhymes. But what is the moral of this Brothers Grimm story? An interesting question, and not at all gory. He had so much confidence in his own tenacity that his skills increased and never reached capacity. So imagine, if you will, how much greater could be our skill at dealing with life and all of its conflict if the giants we faced, we first gave the flick. And if we place them at the altar, how much could we alter? Well, that's the time over for me. If you do want the rest of the moral of the story and the rest of the lesson, please switch on your listening ears to the next session. Thank you.
Thank you, Sam. Turn to 1 Samuel 17 for me. We're going to look at a familiar story. I want to talk today about bringing down Goliaths in your life. Now, many of us have these. You may not know what they actually look like. You may not even recognize, but we want to talk today about bringing down Goliaths in the next part of our series on how to attain success in your life. Now, anytime you pursue a dream, especially a God-given dream, you will face at least 1, possibly more, giants in the way. Now, this giant that you will be facing is big, he's ugly, and he's in the way of your success. You bring him down, or he brings you down. He stands there, he taunts you, he mocks you, he threatens you, he jeopardizes any chance you have of success in your life. Now, we all have to deal with them, or they will deal with us. You see, a giant is a seemingly insurmountable barrier or difficulty in your life. But you can win against your Goliaths, as you'll see in 1 Samuel 17. So let me buzz through the story. If you've got your Bible, open it to 1 Samuel 17. You'll be familiar with this story, David and Goliath. Who's heard of that before? Yeah. So we're going to buzz through it. Now, let me start by saying, according to the Bible, Goliath was over 3.2 meters tall, which is pretty big, isn't it? So he's a pretty big guy. But David faced a giant problem, 3.2 meters tall. He wore heavy armor, he had a big nasty spear, and he terrified everybody. If you look at 1 Samuel 17, verse 10, it says this, "And the Philistine said," this is Goliath, "I defy the ranks of Israel this day. Give me a man that we might fight together." When Saul and all of Israel heard these words, the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. David came along at that point. Now, he was a lad just visiting his brothers at the front, but he refused to be scared, and he said this in verse 26, "Who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" I love that. Do you love that? Them's farting words, those ones. You know, he does, everyone else is cowering. He's going, "Who is this jerk? Big jerk." So, David tried on Saul's armor, and he rejected it because he couldn't fit into it. It was too big and bulky on him. As you know the story, and then he went via a little brook, picked up 5 stones, had a slingshot, and you know the story. He went to face Goliath, and something entered Goliath's head that had never occurred to him before. It was a stone, and he dropped down dead. So what giant seemingly insurmountable problem are you facing right now? It could be a persistent sin. That's a giant. It could be lack of faith. That's a giant. Criticism, fear, depression, apathy. All of these can be giants in your life. And you'll never walk into your destiny without defeating them. So today, ladies and gentlemen, is the day that we decide to put those suckers down. Are you with me? Today is the day we say enough. It's the day we put our giants to the sword. It's the day that we eliminate them forever. Are you with me? To quote the Lord of the Rings, let's hunt orc. Okay? So, my question to you is, are you positive? Now, many people think that if you're just positive, if you've got a positive frame of mind, that you can beat these guys, that positive attitudes, positive thoughts, even positive confession on their own will work. But I'm telling you now, that's not enough to defeat these giants in your life. But it's a good start. Having a positive mindset is good, but it's not enough. See, hidden within the vast resources of our minds is a tremendous ability to store and retrieve data. So complex that scientists cannot even today work it out and know all of our capacities of our mind. However, one thing is clear. We view ourselves in the light of what we believe to be true. If you construct a negative belief system concerning who you are, then you will act negatively. If we keep God central, then we will have an unbelievably positive mindset. Isaiah 26 verse 3, it says this, "You keep in perfect peace whom his mind is steadfast because he trusts in you." So if you're facing giants right now, which we all are in some way, you can keep in perfect peace in your mind by trusting him, by setting your mind upon him. Now, we church people are not too good at this at times. Come on, let's admit it. I remember one time Fiona going to church one day and someone said to her, "How's your week been?" And she said, "Do you want faith or positive confession?" Because truth or positive confession, thank you. Because a lot of times positive confession, a lot of times, now please don't, I'm not saying that words don't count or anything like that, but some of the positive confession type stuff is just fake it till you make it stuff, isn't it? Let's be honest. You know, I don't have a cult. I really don't have a cult. It's rubbish. Seriously. It's not truth. So how do we balance this out? Because for some people, positive confession is fake it till you make it. And I believe there is a balance where you can balance positive mindset and words, but reality. Is that true? It is true. So facing a giant in your life, it's not about confessing that he isn't there. It's not about faking faith. It's not about pretending he's smaller than he is, because that's flawed faith and ultimately it will let you down. Now, I actually took this to the Lord many years ago because I didn't understand what faith was, because I was getting all this conflicting stuff and people saying, well, you know, just say it's not there and it won't be there by, you know, in Jesus' name. And I thought, well, that doesn't make any sense to me. So I took it to the Lord and I said, Lord, teach me about faith because I don't get this stuff. And he brought me to Romans chapter 4. Please open Romans chapter 4, because this is really important for our faith. Because I had to, in my mind, in my heart, I had to equate this and make sense of it. Romans chapter 4 verse 19 says this about Abraham. Now, Abraham is the father of faith, all right? This guy might know a thing or two about faith. It says this. Now, remember, he was waiting for a child. He was, you know, advanced in years. It was physically impossible for him to have a child. And God said, keep believing. But this is what he says. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body. Notice he considered his own body. He didn't just ignore the fact that he was nearly 100 years old. When he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb, no unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God. He grew strong in his faith and he gave glory to God, being fully convinced that God was able to do as he'd promised. So what happened there? Abraham didn't wish away barrenness. He didn't positively confess, my body is virile, my body is virile. You don't do this, do you? I don't know. My body is virile, my body is virile. He didn't do that. He looked the facts straight in the face, eyeball to eyeball. He didn't fake it, he didn't lie about it, but he acknowledged that his body was as good as dead. But, and here's the but, he said, you might be as good as dead body, but my God is bigger than you. That's the jump. So when you face your Goliath, wishing he wasn't there doesn't work. Confessing he doesn't exist doesn't work. Pretending he's smaller than he is doesn't work. You look that giant straight in the eye and say, I know you're big. I know you're a giant. I know you're out to kill me. I know you're powerful, but my God is bigger and stronger than you. That's what I call a positive confession. See, David stayed positive as he approached this battle. As he headed out to the showdown with Goliath, the first thing he did was cross a little brook. He picked up 5 stones as he went into battle. Now, as we face our giants this morning, whatever they may be, I'm going to suggest to you 5 stones that you can pick up to face them with right now and defeat the giants in your life, the ones that stand between you and greatness. So stone number one is the purpose. The first stone you pick up is the purpose for which you're facing the giant. What's your reason? What's your motivation for taking him on at all? Why bother facing him? Now, last week we talked about if you have a great cause, a great purpose, a great vision for success, that it will drive you through the difficult times. And it's very true. You see, your purpose will cause you to have a number of things. Look at them up there. Prayer. Those with a purpose pray more because they realize their purpose is bigger than them. Is that true? And when it's bigger than you, you can't deal with it. You've got to pray. Unity. People with a purpose, they find the other people who are of similar idea or similar place in life, and they have unity with them. So they gather people around them with a similar purpose. Risk. When you have a purpose, you're suddenly prepared to risk more. We call it faith, but it's risk as well. You know, we're looking around at our church here now, and we're looking at, you know, moving from this property to another one. There's risk involved, but I'm prepared to face that because the last thing I want to do is settle for a substandard dream. Do you hear me? So if we have a dream, we need to risk it. No risk, no reward. Planning. Having a purpose causes us to plan more and plan more carefully. Observation. A purpose is what drives observation around you a lot of times. If you don't believe me, how many of you have decided, you've gone through all the cars and you've decided which car you want to buy, and when you get on the road, suddenly that car appears everywhere. Have you experienced that? I didn't know there were so many, you know, whatever it is, Corollas on the road. You don't even see them until you have a purpose, and then all of a sudden they're everywhere. How does that work? Is God planting them in your way? No, you're just observed. They've been there all along. You didn't see them because you didn't have the purpose. Sacrifice. A purpose drives you on more than others. You will sacrifice whatever is needed to achieve it. And expectation. A purpose causes your expectation to rise. It drives you to expect miracles and expect success. If you expect something, you know, if you're expecting it to rain, if you're believing it to rain, if you're expecting it to rain, take a brolly. You know, it's an expectation that's in your heart. So your purpose is the first stone you pick up to start defeating giants. So if you're facing giants right now, check your purpose. What is it that drives the dream you have? Find your purpose for living in God and you will conquer giants. Now, Proverbs 19 verse 21 says, many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. So remember, whatever your purpose is, ultimately God is going to be in control of that. The right purpose, God's purpose, is the first stone to pick up and attack giants with. The second one is the cost. If you look at Luke 14, a famous passage, but I love this, and I think all of us need to hear this word this morning. Luke 14 verse 27 says this, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the costs, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, once he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to mock him. Jesus says, count the cost. Did you know that? He says, count the cost. And people often ask me, how can you tell that little voice inside? How can you tell if it's God or if it's you or if it's the devil? How can you tell that? There's a fairly simple formula for that, I think. The difference between God's voice, the devil, and our voice is this. If it's what you want, there's a fair chance it's your voice. Do you ever tell yourself stuff like that? It works. You can convince yourself, but oftentimes it's your voice. Your voice always tells you what you want. It rarely tells you what you don't want. The second thing is, how do you tell the devil's voice? I'll tell you how. The devil will very often say, like Nike, just do it. So when the devil, you know, gets in your heads to give it, he just says, just do it. Don't worry about the consequences. Just do it. Buy now, pay later. Just do it. But when it's the voice of God, he will very often ask you to count the cost. He doesn't say, just do it. He says, weigh it up. And that's a key difference. So, before you charge out against the giant, step back and have a look at him and count the cost. Now, I want to give you an example just so you can figure this out and realize what I'm saying about counting the cost. It's like weighing it up. You sit down with a pencil and paper and write down the fors and against and just weigh it up. Step back and look at the big picture and weigh it up. Let's take, for example, one sin. Let's take immorality as a sin. On the plus side of the ledger, on the bit that you like, okay, with regards to immorality, there's a thrill, there's a risk, and there's a few moments of pleasure. But you look at the other side of the ledger. There's guilt, shame, loss of reputation with God, loss of relationship with God, loss of reputation, loss of relationship with your spouse, with your kids, your grandkids, your friends. There's all sorts of diseases, unwanted pregnancy, losing your finances, destroying the trust people had in you. When you weigh up the sides of the ledger, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? But you see, the devil says, just do it. Jesus says, count the cost. So to defeat a giant, especially a sinful giant in your life, a stronghold that has beaten you time and time again, step back, count the cost, and suddenly you see the consequences clearly. You've picked up the right stone. Weigh it carefully, and you realize when you count the cost, when you weigh up the consequences of defeat by him, that the resultant carnage that defeat by him will cause makes triumphing over this giant mandatory. If you've got that giant there and you realize if you give in to that thing, if you roll over and let him defeat you, your life is going to be a mess. Suddenly the stakes are much higher. And there will be cost to count along the way. There will be attack. When you step out and face a giant, very often the devil will attack you. There will be criticisms at times. There will be people trying to undermine your faith as you reach for your dreams. But you need to decide when you face that giant, when you pick up the second stone, you say, nope, this is one that's got to count, and you'll defeat the giant. The third one is the course. The third stone you pick up is charting your course. Charting the right course to defeat the giant. Now, planning is not sinful. Charting your course is smart. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. However, in your plans, you need to seek God's plans, not your own. So you need to read the Bible daily, spend time with him in the daily Bible reading plan. Just get your heart right with God. Because if you do, oftentimes your plans start to become his plans. Because his will is just flowing through you. Remember, we can rely on him for his guidance and for his plans for our life. Jeremiah 29, we love this verse. For I know the plans, verse 11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. And we love to stop there. God's got a plan. This is awesome. But the next two verses spell it out. It says this, then you will call on me and come and pray to me and I will hear you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So it's not just about God's got a plan for me. I can just do whatever I want and it will work. No, because you have to seek God with all your heart. And when you do, his plans open up in front of your eyes. Now, when you know God's course, you need to chart it, move towards it, and you need to declare it. How many of you know sharing what you believe is God's purpose for your life is scary? Anybody know that? Do you have a purpose in your heart, something you would love to do, a dream in your heart, and the last thing you want to do is tell anybody? In case it doesn't come to pass. Am I right? Like this is my secret dream. I'll keep this, you know, I want to be a millionaire, but I won't tell you until there's $1 million in my pocket, you know? It's hard. It's challenging when you need to declare it. Now, I've declared to you that our dream for this church is for it to grow. And as such, we need to build, I believe we need to move building. Now, that's scary. Is that scary? I think it's scary. This for me anyway, but unless I step out and declare that, no one will follow. So if you have a vision in your life, chart it out and share it with others. And yes, there's a risk. Yes, it's terrifying. Yes, you might be embarrassed because what you declare doesn't come to pass. But you won't defeat the giant standing in your way by running the opposite direction. Now, David said in 1 Samuel 17:31, David said this to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him, the giant. Your servant will go and fight the Philistine. He declared it. Don't you guys worry. I'll deal with it. I'll go and fight him. And every person who has achieved a great dream knows the trauma of first having to publicly declare it. And when you do publicly declare something, get ready for a dose of criticism. Sometimes you step out and you say, I believe God wants to do this in my life. And people say, oh, he wouldn't pick you for that. You're not suited for that. And you'll get criticism. Or even worse, you'll get advice. If you step out in faith to face a giant, I tell you, someone will always say, hey, that's great. Let me tell you how to do it. Am I right? Look, it's so true. In 1 Samuel 17, 38, it says this, Saul clothed David with his armor. He put the helmet of bronze on his head and clothed him with a cloak of mail. And David strapped the sword over his armor and he tried in vain to go, for he had not tested them. Then David said to Saul, I cannot go with these. I have not tested them. So he threw them off and just went down, you know, with his normal clothes, a slingshot, and picked up five stones. You see, David found Saul's armor too big, too bulky, too ill-fitting. He couldn't fight with that stuff. And you will find that when you step out and say, I believe God's calling me to this, that others will criticize, or even worse, they will offer advice on how to get there. And I couldn't tell you how much criticism I face as a pastor. It's just almost endless at times, and much of it is encapsulated in godly words. That's the tricky thing. So people will come to me, I don't know if this happens to you, but it comes from sincere hearts. People come to me and say, God told me to tell you what to do. Thank you so much, I say. You know, as a pastor, even when I have a victory, even when something goes great, someone will still come and tell me what God told them to tell me that I should have done. Sorry, this is just reality here. My antidote to all of this confusing God talk, because it's pretty hard when someone says, God told me to tell you, you know, how do you say no to God? Is it God? You know, that's confusing. So my antidote to this is that I have a close team, a team that I trust, a team that I take all of these decisions to, and I run it by a team because there's wisdom in the council of many. I run everything by my wife, then my team, my board, my leaders and admin teams, so that way I can stay on course and not be influenced by anybody's trying to influence me with an axe to grind about something. Ignite is going to stay the course, folks, and we're going to keep serving the Lord as the Lord leads us to serve. And you know, and people can criticize all they like. I believe that we're heading the right direction. Do you?
Yes.
Good. So it's not all criticism. So if you pick up that stone and chart your course with confidence and listen to the Lord's voice in his word, in godly advice, closely following him, then you'll be on the right track. And don't listen to everybody. You cannot kill giants in your life if you need everyone's support. Give others time to understand and accept what you're going to do, but don't expect them to always agree with it. I've discovered that every person who has never killed a giant will tell you it's impossible. But it's not. They will tell you it can't happen. Stay the course and trust God, not man's agenda and someone's personal agenda. The fourth stone is concentration. Now, this is really interesting. What are you concentrating on as you face your giant? What are you focusing on? So many of us see the giant and we concentrate not on the solution, but on the giant himself. Do you recognize this photo? This is Carl Wallander. He is a famous, world-famous tightrope walker, successful for many, many years, comes from a whole family of tightrope walkers, circus people. Now, this photo was taken moments before his death. He died walking between two buildings in Puerto Rico in 1978, falling 75 meters to his death. He never wore any protective stuff. Now, after he fell to his death, his wife made this comment. All Carl thought about for 3 months straight prior to walking across the tightrope was falling. It was the first time he'd ever thought about that. He would allow others to set the guide ropes up, but not this time. He was so worried about it, he set it all up himself. And she said this, and it seems to me that he put all of his energies into not falling rather than walking the tightrope. You see, when he stepped out onto this rope that day, he was not concentrating on doing his job and walking across. He was concentrating on not falling, so much so that he did fall. You see, when we focus on the pitfalls instead of the prize, we often fail. When we focus on the giant in front of us instead of the solution, we are often destined to fail. So as David went forth to face Goliath, what was he focusing on? If you look at 1 Samuel 17, 45, it says this. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. Now, who was he focused on? Was he intimidated by Goliath? Well, possibly. He's pretty big, that guy. But was he overwhelmed? No chance. Why? Because he didn't focus on the giant. He focused on the solution, which was the Lord of hosts. So when you concentrate on, what you concentrate on rather, will determine how the battle goes. What you focus on is the difference between positive thinking and positive faith. You can look the giant in the eye and say, I recognize you're a giant, but my God is big. beggar, and I choose to concentrate on him. And 1 John 4:4, we love so much, it says, you are from God and have overcome because the one who is in you, say it with me, is greater than the one who is in the world. It's that simple. So like Volander, many people focus constantly on the problem, not the solution, and they become obsessed with the giant. They talk about it. It controls every aspect of their life. Don't believe me? Have a long-term sickness. Some of you here have struggled with this. And when you get sick, all of a sudden life becomes a series of doctor's appointments and taking drugs on time. And it's really, really hard to focus on Christ in the middle of pain and suffering of sickness. Is that right? It really is. It can control your life. It's so hard because the other stuff, it's not bad. Doctors, drugs, they're fine. They're treating the sickness. But what happens is they command your attention all the time instead of Christ. So, on the road to your destiny, giants will rise up. The giant of sickness, the giant of want, the giant of persistent sin, or loss, or addiction, or relationship collapse, or something like that. These giants can be defeated, but not if you constantly center on them. You have to look beyond them and say, look them in the eye, you exist, but my God, the one who is in me is greater than you. Shift your focus from the giant to Christ, because he is greater and his power can break the bondage of those giants. So that's four stones already. The fifth one is this, the charge. You see, James 2:17 says, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. What is he saying there? You can prepare, you can stare down that giant, you can plan, you can scream at him, but ultimately, unless you charge him, he ain't going down. The fifth stone is to put actions with it and to take action and to charge. If you look at Hebrews 11, the great chapter on faith, every single one of those people in there, their faith involves an action. See, faith is nothing without action. So don't run away. Don't wait for them to bring you down. Go and get them and show them who's boss. Show them that the Lord is boss by charging them. 1 Samuel 17, look at what David did. Verse 47 and 48, it says this. The Lord saves not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. He will give you into our hands. When the Philistine arose and came and drew near to meet David, David quickly ran towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. When the Philistine came near, he didn't run away, he ran towards. Why would he run towards the giant when everyone else had run away? Has he got a death wish? I don't think so. He ran towards the giant because he was so confident of victory. He charged. And I'm believing today that you get so charged up that you decide to charge the giants. Because we can and will defeat them. So there are the five stones you can pick up, that David picked up to face the giant, that you can pick up. The purpose, the cost, the course, the concentration, and the charge. David had no sword, no shield, no armor, just five stones and a slingshot. Now, someone suggested one time that five stones would indicate David didn't have faith because he didn't take one stone to defeat the enemy. But that's not true. As you may know, according to 2 Samuel 21, verse 22, Goliath had four brothers. He picked up five stones because he's taken the whole team on here. And he was confident of victory. So let me talk about breakthrough in the land of the giants. Bit of memory lane here as we wrap it up. I don't know if you remember this. There was a show on TV called The Land of the Giants. Anybody seen that? Remember that? And everybody was little and all the other people were big and stuff, yeah. And all the people, they face these giants everywhere. And sometimes in your life, you'll feel like this. You'll feel like one of these little guys and you'll feel like everyone else is really, really big. Sometimes, everywhere you turn, we'll have a big giant on the road. And they're not the jolly green giant types. They're the big, ugly, I want to pull you apart and intimidate you kind of giants. So Ignite is here as a church to point you to Jesus. We're a people who have walked the road, faced the same giants. Many of the giants you might be facing right now, those big, ugly things that are trying to bring you down. Many of you, I'm not kidding, someone else here has faced those and seen God triumph over those. Someone else here can say, been there, done that, got the t-shirt. And many here have faced and defeated the same giant, the same guy that you're facing right now. They want to stand with you as you face your personal Goliath. See, today is a day of breakthrough, I believe. Psalm 27 verse 1 says this, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? How can you say that when life can be so ugly and so aggressive and so destructive. How can you write those words? I'll tell you why. Because we trust in the living God. And whatever we face, someone else has been there first. Let me tell you a quick story to wrap it up. In 1954, there were medical articles published that said the human body could not possibly run a mile in under four minutes. They said it was physically impossible for the body to withstand that sort of pressure. But a young medical student in 1954 by the name of Roger Bannister went out and ran a mile in under 4 minutes. Some of you might remember this. Do you know, once he did that, in the next 2 years, 213 men ran under 4 minutes. How can that be? This man here, Roger Bannister, slayed the giant. He slayed the giant. And he showed others that this giant can be beaten. And whatever you face right now, whatever giant you face, people here have faced him and beaten him. It can be done. Don't you believe that this thing can control your life? No, you can win if you make the right decisions. Have you been abused in your past? Well, people here have beaten that. Are you facing persistent sin? People here have beaten that too. Are you fearful? Yep. Folks here have been fearful and they've beaten that giant. Do you face bankruptcy, marital breakdown, loss of job, sickness, hurt? All of these things people here have conquered. It can be done. They're just giants. And the one who is in us is greater than the one who is in the world. So today, I want to ask you, what giants do you face? We're just going to take a few moments here as we finish our service before we head up for communion and fellowship. I want you to examine your heart. The Bible says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Just thanks, guys. I want you to just take a few moments. Just bow your heads. Take a few moments. And I'm asking you, I'm not going to answer this for you, but what giant do you face right now? What giant seems huge, unimaginably big, and overwhelmingly strong? What is it you face? Is it a sin in your life that's controlling you? Is it sickness? Is it a broken relationship? I don't know. Is it fear? Is it fear of financial loss? What giant do you face? Just take a few moments to pray and ask the Lord what giant you face. Ask Him to reveal it to you. What giant do you face? Just take a few moments. And what I'm going to ask you to do as we wrap up this service, I'm going to ask you to give that to the Lord and ask you to let Him deal with that. To take your eyes off that giant, however demonic, however ugly, however aggressive, however much he boasts that he can beat you, he can't if you focus on the one who is in you, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He is God, not that giant. Would you stand with me, please? Let's stand together. So just search your hearts. I'm asking you, what is the giant that you face? Whatever it is that you face, I'm going to ask you to just examine your heart now. And we believe, as I said before, many have been there before you. They've been there before you. They can stand with you. They can agree with you. They can see this giant overcome. But the whole idea of faith is that we're better together. We can do it together. Standing alone against these giants is a difficult thing. Standing with others who believe in you is a great thing. So as we sing this song a couple of times through, I'm going to ask you, if you're facing a big giant right now, whatever it is, we don't have to even know what it is, but I'm going to ask you to come to the front and let others stand with you.